Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Rob coming to you live from my illustrious bedroom here in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. And this is the Worlds Collide Podcast, episode 28. We're going to go into the latest and greatest in Within Temptation and Evanescence news. As the year goes on, some great things are happening. And we're starting to actually, you know, come out of this pandemic, and we're starting to see some movement in the direction in which us fans are really excited about. So far be it for me to sit here and just go on and on about it when we can dive right into it. So we're going to get started with Within Temptation news. So, Within Temptation is starting to kind of come back on the scene a little bit. I have to just kind of admit that they've been a little quiet lately. Haven't seen too much of them. The last single that they came out with was The Purge, which was a while ago, which, you know, has been getting a lot of views on YouTube and Spotify and stuff, and they just celebrated a year anniversary today of the single Entertain You, which came out in the beginning of the pandemic last year. So, it's good to kind of see them back out on social media doing their thing or whatever. So the biggest push that they're doing right now, and they're hustling, I got to say, you know, one thing I've really drawn, what drew me to this band was the level of their hustle. And, you know, like this European goth, you know, metal band are just out there just every day on social media, interacting with fans, posting new stuff or whatever. Whether they have new stuff or they're just pushing the old stuff, whatever it may be, they're always trying to keep into the eyes and the minds of fans and trying to get new fans and stuff. And I love it. I absolutely love their hustle. So what are they hustling now? Well, it's not new stuff, but I'll tell you, they're really pushing this Silent Force DVD. I mean, the Silent Force Live from, and you know what? I'm totally going to mess up this name. Java Inland. Amsterdam. This was in 18 November 2005 when they recorded this concert of them playing the songs from the Silent Force to and include Enter and songs from Mother Earth. So this is right about when Silent Force was actually, it had been released for a couple of years at that point. And they're out promoting it and everything. Maybe this is toward the end of the tour or whatever. But the songs sound great. And, you know, the band's just killing it, and the audience is just so interactive. Like, it's so cool just to kind of see them out there just fist pumping away, and, you know, all Sharon has to do is, you know, flick a booger, and everyone goes crazy, right? And, man, do I miss it. I miss that interaction in concerts, my goodness, and I can't wait for, you know, this fall when small concerts are going to start coming back, and you're going to start seeing a lot of small tours being announced and everything. And we'll get into that in a little bit with Evanescence. But we're wanting to see if Within Temptation is going to follow suit and maybe play some dates in Europe. Because, you know, Europeans cannot travel to America yet, unfortunately. The travel bans are still in effect. So hopefully Within Temptation kind of follows the same route as Evanescence and decides to do a localized tour, maybe a collab tour there in Europe, just to kind of get the European fans riled up again before Worlds Collide kicks off next spring, as hopefully scheduled, which the way things are going right now, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a sure bet. So yay us, okay? Yay fandoms. You know, I'm over here in my bedroom right now pumping my fist to the sky. It's really weird and awkward, actually, but I'm doing it, okay? So that's what's going on. They're pushing this Silent Force DVD, which is now available on digital formats, which is huge. So I'm guessing now if this is going to be successful, they're going to take other concerts that they did and put them on digital formats as well. Maybe their Black Symphony, maybe some of the live Resist concerts that are out there. The one that I like is the Hydra tour live. That was a really good concert film. I'd like to see that in digital format as well. So more to come. But, you know, as we think about the future, we should also think about the past. So let me take you on a journey. Everybody just kind of close your eyes, okay? and take a big deep breath. And then on the count of three, I want you to exhale. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three. Oh man, that's deep. Now we are back in May 8th, 2012. So, like I said, not a whole heck of a lot going on with Within Temptation. So, in order to kind of have some content for my last newsletter, which hopefully many of you got, if you don't, subscribe to it. Link is in my bio of my Twitter. Anyway, I did a little research this month in Within Temptation history. So back in 2012, May 8th, Sharon Dan Edel and Hui Jolie appeared on what's called the DWDD Recordings to perform a cover of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit, which was back from 1992 in their album Nevermind. And what's cool about the newsletter is I got a link to the performance in on YouTube, so you can watch them actually sing it. And I watched it. It was pretty cool. It was a TV show. There was an audience, and you know, Ruud isn't there, but just with his acoustic guitar, and Sharon's just singing along. It's just the two of them, really kind of intimate and everything. And what's really neat is like the influence. And I'm going to kind of date myself here when I say this, but I was 14 years old when "Smells Like Teen Spirit" was popular. Okay. And I was actually 14 years old when Kurt Cobain committed suicide. So, needless to say, you know, the influence that that band has had years and years down the road, worldwide, right? To even, you know, goth metal bands in the Netherlands, you know, is astounding. And to be a part of that history is actually pretty cool, and it makes me feel good about being old, which I'm not old, by the way. If you ever call me old, I will be sad. I won't be mad, I'll be sad. Like, if we saw each other on the street, you came up to me and said, "Hey, man, I recognize you from the podcast." And I'd be like, "How in the world is that possible? All you hear is my voice." And the guy's like, "No, man, I recognize you. That whole thing where you said that you weren't old in your last episode, well, guess what, man? I'm looking at you right now. You're old, dude." And, you know, a lot of people, that'd be like fighting words, right? That'd be like, "Yo, bro, you don't even know who you are. Who are you talking to, right? You about ready to catch these hands, right?" And I'd be like balling my fists. I'd be bowing up. I'd be up in their face, be like, "You know, you about to ready to, you know, throw it down. I'm going to take you downtown. I'm going to take you down to Chinatown is what's about to happen here. I'm going to put them in a suplex headlock, put them down to the dirt, and then I'm going to just give him the old iron fist, bam, to the back of the cortex." But none of that's going to happen, actually, because I'm going to be really sad. I'm going to be like, "You're mean," and I'm just going to walk away, kind of sad. And the guy's going to laugh, "Ha-ha," and my wife's going to be like, "Come on, honey, you can take him." And I'm be like, "I can't take him. He's right." Boy, that was quite a tangent. Okay, so anyway, check out, if you have my newsletter, the link is in the little newsletter there to watch that performance if you're interested. If not, just go onto YouTube and do a search for DWDD Recordings, Sharon Dan Edel, and you should find it just fine. So there you go. There's a little piece of history of Within Temptation to fill your souls. And that's all I got for Within Temptation. But we are about to move on after my ad, which, you know, you got to admit is pretty cool. It really is just me talking into my iPhone, this ad coming up. But, you know, it's a pretty cool app that I use to make this podcast. So you should check it out. After this ad, we're going to jump into the greatest goth metal band from Little Rock, Arkansas. We're going to talk about Evanescence next. So we'll be right back. All right. I hope you liked that ad as much as I liked making it. But here is Evanescence news. So, let's talk about Evanescence. They just released a documentary. They sure did. And it is called Embracing the Bitter Truth. And it was by an editor slash director named Adam Jones. And basically what they did was they took all the events that happened in 2020. Many, if you know, you really follow Evanescence as many of the fandom does, you would know a lot of pretty much everything that happened. And but it's just kind of neat to see it wrapped up in a 48-minute kind of documentary, right? And Adam Jones did a great job. So it basically detailed all the events of 2020 that inspired and led to the recording of the newest album that we're all enjoying now, The Bitter Truth, okay? It features interviews with the band members, plus it features people in the background who made the album happen, to include the, Nick. He was the producer, right? And then, in order to watch it, you got to go subscribe to a channel via Amazon Prime. But don't worry, it's like a free trial. You can get it for 7 days. The channel's called Coda. And it looks like it's very musical, inspired, lots of concert videos and stuff like that. But if you don't like it, you can cancel in 7 days. You won't get charged. So I got it. I've subscribed to it. I'm probably going to cancel here in a day or two just to watch the documentary. And it was really kind of like interesting to see, the pandemic through their perspective, because I think we all have our own perspectives of how the pandemic went down and how it affected our lives. Many of us had to stay home from work. Some of us lost our jobs. Every person, the pandemic, it affected them differently. Some people really didn't affect them at all. Like me, for instance, I went to work every day still. I just had to wear a mask. That was really the only difference. As far as my work life goes, as far as my personal private life, I couldn't like go out and do the normal things I could. Here in Hawaii, they locked everything down quite a bit because, we're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. We're on an island. We are very vulnerable. And should that virus break out on this island, like in a mass scale, it would be very hard for the authorities and for the medical people here to really contain it. So it could be a real problem. So basically, Hawaii went on a pretty massive lockdown for a while. And we are still we're lagging behind the rest of the mainland and stuff like that as far as being able to not wear masks and stuff like that, even though, we're over halfway vaccinated now as far as our state. Excuse me, sorry. So it was very interesting, to see their perspective of the pandemic, right? And some very notable things was, first of all, I gotta say, I felt sorry for Jen Majura. I really did. My heart went out to her because, holy gosh, I should not be coughing on a podcast. Whew, sorry about that. I felt bad for her because she is trapped in Germany. And especially when the band started getting back together to record, songs and do the live stream concerts and stuff, Jen had to do it via basically Zoom. Her parts of it, and they had to trade audio files back and forth and do layers and vocals and everything like that. And I mean, in that aspect, she said in the documentary that, those cases where she was contributing, where she was participating in the live streams and stuff, she would close her eyes, and emotionally and spiritually she was there, but physically was not. Had to be a real bummer. And so, that was one of the sadder parts of the documentary, actually. So if you're listening, Jen, which I know you do, all the way here in the Pacific Ocean, here in Hawaii, hopefully, I'm hoping and praying that Germany lifts its travel bans and you are able to travel to the U.S. and reunite. And I think I posted on Twitter the other day, just wouldn't it be cool if these two, and I mean Jen and Amy, were to reunite again. And that was a pretty strong post, right? That got a lot of reaction, a lot of comments and likes. So I think the fandom is looking forward to seeing you back with the boys as well, along with Amy. So, my hat's off to you. And here's the thing, what I like about Jen is that she's not sitting on her butt, feeling sorry for herself. And the other day, I kind of went into her Instagram. And no, I wasn't cyber-stalking or nothing, but once in a while I like to catch up on the band members just to see what they're doing, because it's it's part of what I do when I run a fan club. And I binge-watched the one-minute jams, right? And I'm just like, man, why did she get rid of these? These were so much fun. All these metal singers, all these metal guitarists and metal drummers who are notorious and famous for these shredding, thunderous, metal gods are just sitting here singing 80s songs, right? Michael Jackson songs and and, you know, Stevie Wonder songs and stuff like that. And I'm like, this was brilliant. You know what I'm saying? This was so much fun to watch. And in 2020, when all of us were hunkered down, you know, having to, like, you know, find ways to entertain ourselves or be entertained versus the internet, that was a very good way to do it. So if it ever comes back, Jen, you know I'll be watching it. So anyway, that's Jen Majura. Also, I watched her SpongeBob stories, and man, that stunk. That really stunk what happened to her SpongeBob. And if you're curious about it, go to her Instagram and watch it. Another highlight of the documentary, which really kind of blew my mind, was, you know, up to this point, Use My Voice to me was kind of, I always thought it was kind of an angry anti-government protest song. I really didn't look too deep into it because at the time when the song came out, yeah, there was a lot of anti-government sentiment going on, you know, and I think that our leader at the time, our president at the time, wasn't helping the situation a lot. And so it was causing a huge divide among a lot of people. And I thought that Use My Voice was like an angry protest, you know, let's get the government, let's show them what we got, you know, yada yada. And it was a very big conflict for me because I work for the government. You know what I'm saying? I've been working for the government for years. I'm retired military. And now here I am, one of my favorite singer-songwriters of all time is like sitting here and I felt like she was calling them out, and I get it. I mean, she has every right to do that. So does everybody, you know. We have that right in our country. So I did enjoy the song, but it, you know, I didn't really dig too deep into it, and, you know, I just kind of was like, okay, right on, go on with your bad self, Amy, and, you know, let's move on from here. But I gained a new perspective about that song after watching the documentary because, you know, it wasn't an angry song. It wasn't a protest like, let's get the government, let's show them what we got. It was more of a, I looked, and Amy said it in the interview, something to the effect of, I was looking for our leaders for a direction and they didn't give us any. And they let me down. And that's why I wrote the song. And so I'm like, oh, and I, you know, I'm just like, dang, okay. I see now what she meant by that. So I looked back at the song, I reread the lyrics and everything. I was like, oh yeah, okay, I get it. You know, it's not like Use My Voice, let's, you know, tear down the government. It's Use My Voice, you know, because somebody has to be the right person in the room. Somebody has to be the grown up, like she said in interviews, right? And if the president's not going to do it, then we should do it type thing. Because, you know, there's a virus going around killing people. It's not fake. All right? So once I gained that perspective, I gained a whole new perspective for the song. So I was actually very happy to see that part of the documentary. Like, it clicked for me right there. I mean, you know, there was many interviews about it that, you know, I probably didn't pay too much attention to or whatever. But for some reason, that moment, it clicked. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, and then I felt like, oh, maybe I should have, you know, known that since the beginning. But I didn't. So now I know. And now it makes perfect sense to me. So I gained a new respect for the song. So that was a good part of the documentary. And so just seeing all the other band members chiming in, putting in their perspective, I absolutely loved, toward the end of the documentary, how Troy and Tim and Will went on about the fandom. And, like, I don't get a sense from Amy all the time. Like, she appreciates us. She says that a lot in, like, her... She says it in her interviews once in a while. But, like, these guys went out of the way to go on about just how dedicated we are. And, like, you know, they're right. Like, I remember when Fallen came out. I've been with this band since Fallen came out. And when The Open Door was released in 2006, and then I'm sitting here like, it was 2006, right? Yeah, 2006. And then I remember around 2009, 2010, I was sitting here, I was overseas in the Middle East space, and I'm listening to The Open Door. And, you know, it was on my rotation, you know, that I fell asleep to at night. And I'm sitting there thinking, hey, you know, it's been a few years, right? You know, I just like, I've been listening to Fallen and The Open Door on almost, you know, once or twice a week. And I'm like, wait a second, it's been a minute. When are they going to come out with a new album? And sure enough, right after I posted that, I posted on Facebook or something, literally like a week after there was an announcement that the self-touted album was going to be coming out in 2011. I was like, well, there they go. There's the new album. So it's interesting and it's great that they acknowledge that there's just some people out there, many of you who might be listening, that just stuck will stick with them. I mean, when's the next album coming out after The Bitter Truth? Who knows, right? Do any of us care? Yeah, of course we care, but is it going to like keep us up at night? No, I think we'll be okay. So my hat's off to them for acknowledging just, you know, folks like us, folks like maybe you who are listening, who stuck with it. So, I mean, why wouldn't you want to stick with this band? Just like, if not for the music, just the things that happen to this band sometimes, the things that they put out there, the tweets, the just, I mean, there's just some things that like this band, you know, does or experiences that you're just like, I don't think we get this with any other band. Like if I followed someone like a megastar, you don't get like, one thing comes to mind, I think it was in the 2016 tour. I can't remember. Shoot, I'm so sorry. But there is a tour where they did in Russia. It was not their synthesis tour. It was the rock tour. And they, their delivery truck with their instruments didn't make it off the port. And so they had to rent all these acoustic, like, instruments. And they had to, like, you know, basically make up a show that day. I think they had a day off. And then they went on that next day and they made up the show via acoustic instruments. And it's like, you know, unless you follow the band as hardcore as many of us do, you wouldn't know that. And just seeing that happen, that's like nuts. Like, you know, things like that happen to this band all the time where you're just like, I can't not follow them, you know? It's just amazing some of the things that they have to endure and some of the things they do, they persevere to get through and stay evanescent. So, well, that's it. That's really all I got for the podcast. So if you are interested in finding me, I am on Twitter at the F Community or at the WT Community _. And actually, the Twitter is called Within Temptation Hawaii because I'm out in Hawaii. And yeah, it fits. I'd say I'm on Instagram, but I'm not because Instagram took me down. Bunch of jerks. And yeah, I think that's about all you can find me now. If you want to subscribe to my newsletter, the link is in the bio of my Twitter. And it's a weekly newsletter that comes out with all the news and basically is a script for my podcast. So there you go. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. I know some of you have listened to every episode and I really appreciate you showing up every single time. Drop some comments. Show me some love, you know, give me some reviews. Go on Spotify, go on iTunes, whatever. Give me some stars. Give me some comments. I would really appreciate you guys if you did that. So again, this is Rob coming to you live from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, and I'm signing off. Have a great day. Bye.